we have a guest I've been really looking forward to speaking to. We're talking to Brother Dan Corner. Dan is discussing a book that he's written, and I want to get into the subject of the believer's conditional security. Dan, welcome to this week's show.
Again, Stuart, thank you so very much. It's my privilege to be with you.
Oh, it's my privilege having you. Now, when you say the conditional security, I guess what you're talking about is a person accepting Christ and their saving and salvation. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. After a person comes to God through repentance and a faith in Jesus that will submit to him and follow him, what kind of salvation security does he have? Does he have an unconditional security, or is it a conditional security? Very, very clearly, all through the New Testament, it is a conditional security for the believer. In fact, there's a knockout verse connected with the gospel itself. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. Paul wrote, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach, otherwise you have believed in vain." And what has happened is the people that teach once saved, always saved, eternal security, and the perseverance of the saints, they truncate the gospel. They believe in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but they absolutely deny and oppose 1 Corinthians 15:2, which shows a conditional security, because their message is an unconditional security, and therefore it's not true Christian doctrine. And that's why this book has been written. It has been written for the sake of all people professing to be Christians, everybody out there wondering about salvation, because really this book, even though it seems to just address the subject of eternal security, it's really all about salvation. And that's the salvation of the soul, the most important thing that anyone could consider, because obviously we're all going to die one day.
And you want to be in the right place when that happens.
Yes.
And, you know, unlike the Catholics, I guess you could just commit sin after sin and then say a few Hail Marys.
Yeah, it's very sad. I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I had all kind of strange ideas, religious strange ideas, and when I started reading the Bible, I found out what the Word of God truly is. Like the Bible says, the entrance of God's Word will bring light. So I had understanding because I started to read it, quote-unquote, right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I read it right from what Jesus said and what the apostles taught. And what that was a totally different message from what we were hearing at Mass. Totally different. The Bible does not put any focus on Mary for our salvation, for sure. And the Bible instead focuses on Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. He has the only name in which salvation is found, and he's the only mediator. And if we have Jesus, we have life, and if we don't have Jesus, we don't have life. It's that simple. And getting right back again to the subject of the believer's conditional security, I like to use this verse on people that believe in a contrary manner, that if we disown Jesus, Jesus will disown us. Again, showing that he's the issue, and if he disowns us, then obviously we're not part of his body. We're not part of his sheep. We don't have salvation anymore if he disowns us from his family. And according to what Jesus taught, that can happen, Matthew chapter 10, verse 33.
Very, very interesting. You know, and I think this book is important for everyone to read. Dan, I want to throw something at you, if you have a moment. You know, we're in such a turmoil in the world today with what's going on in the Mideast and the terrorism. And so much of this is prophesied in the Bible. How do you feel about it?
What Jesus said would happen, he said there would be wars and rumors of wars. For us not to be concerned that these things will continue right to the end. So how I feel about it is there's really no hope in the natural. The only hope that exists is in Jesus. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't try to make our little place or little surroundings better. Of course, we should. But the big picture is Jesus is coming back, and we have to be ready. And perhaps long before he returns and sets up his perfect paradise kingdom on earth, perhaps before that even occurs, maybe long before that occurs, we'll be dead. What happens then? Well, one of the most shocking verses that I found by reading the scriptures when I first started reading the Bible was Matthew 7:13 and 14. And that's where Jesus said that most people would go to hell, and few people would enter the kingdom of God. And that was a shocker for me, because that's not what I was taught when I went to the Catholic Church. And a lot of Protestants are not taught that either. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through that gate. Straight and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and only few find it. So the contrast is many to few, many going through the wide gate. So for us to get into God's paradise kingdom, and there is a paradise kingdom. Imagine that, paradise. There is a paradise beyond the grave, but it's only for those that qualify. And Jesus said to qualify, we have to have a pure heart. Some people, they're concerned if their face is clean or their hands are clean or their clothes are clean. God doesn't look at that. God looks on the heart. And in Luke chapter 16, we find out where a sick beggar died and went to Abraham's bosom, which is where the righteous went at that particular point in time. And that was because his heart was pure. On the other hand, the rich man ended up in the fires of Hades. And he wanted a message to be conveyed back to his brothers, and that is they need to repent. And really, that gets right down to the bottom line for all of us, because we've all sinned, and we need forgiveness. We need mercy, and the only way we can get it, we have to turn from those sins, cry out for mercy sincerely from our heart to God, and commit our heart to Jesus. And that's the bottom line. That's the issue.
It's never too late, is it?
No, it's never too late. My dear grandmother gets saved around 80 years of age. She didn't know, of course, coming from a Catholic background. She really didn't know. She was very late in life when she came to God. And God was happy to take her in. It's just like what we read in the Bible about the dying thief who was dying right next to the Lord when he was shedding his blood on a cross for our sins. Right at the very end, he got saved. Imagine that. Right at the very end of his life, and Jesus took him in. And the shocking thing about God's great mercy is, it wasn't that much sooner that same thief, that criminal, and that's why he was being put to death on a cross. Of course, with Jesus, it was unjust, but with the thief, it was just. And he was mocking Jesus, just like the other thief that didn't repent. And it actually says that in one of the gospel accounts, but Jesus didn't hold that against him. It wasn't the unforgivable sin, obviously. And Jesus took him in and even told him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And that's the thing that should really make us happy. There is a paradise environment beyond the grave, and it is available, absolutely 100% available through Jesus. He's the only way to get there, and that's why we can't be ashamed of him in this life. That's part of our test. This life is a test to see what we're going to do with God and his word, and that comes right back around to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ who shed his blood on the cross. He rose again from the grave, and he's coming back.
Well, I think your message, Dan, is more important now than it has ever been, because I think, you know, I don't know, in my opinion, we might be in Revelation. I don't know. We're not in good times.
For sure. Yeah, there's no question about it. It's a very perilous time, just like the Bible says. It's a very perilous time. And the reason it's perilous is because of sinful people. Now imagine, in God's paradise kingdom, they won't be there. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. Only righteous people will be there. There'll be no wars. There'll be no thieves. We won't need a wallet, but if we did need a wallet, we could set our wallet down full of money and return 5 years later, and nobody will steal any money out of that wallet. There won't be any thieves there. There won't be any liars. It's going to be a wonderful, glorious place, and it's a place of love. It's a place of peace. It's absolutely thrilling to me. Jesus described it as paradise, and the Apostle Paul was caught up into paradise, and the Apostle John also was caught up into heaven. I evangelize quite a bit. I talk with people, numerous people over the decades, and they said to me, how do you know there's really a heaven? Have you ever been there? I said, well, I don't have to be there. First of all, Jesus was there. He came to earth. Secondly, two of his apostles, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, were both in heaven, and they spoke of it. So heaven does exist, and we know it exists because the Bible is true. It's proven to be true. Prayer answers miracles. Not every miracle was from God, but God still performs miracles. Absolutely. I myself was healed. Five doctors said I would never get better of an injury in my upper back. and Almighty God healed me, and my story is printed in a magazine. Truly a miracle of God. And miracles like this do occur, substantiating and proving the message of the Bible is legitimate. It's genuine, it's true, every bit of it, including the part about paradise, but also the part about hellfire, because that's just as true. And Jesus often warned of hell, and he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. We have a choice. We could do what's right or what's wrong. It's dependent upon our will. God's not going to force us to serve him and to love him. It's entirely up to us.
You were 100% right. Dan, before we go, we're running up on the time. Can you tell everyone a little bit more how they can learn more about you and how they can get this book that you've written, The Believer's Conditional Security?
Perhaps the best way to learn about myself is to come to the website evangelicaloutreach.org. Evangelicaloutreach.org is a massive website. We were one of the first on the internet way, way back when. We perhaps have 1,000 pages on that website dealing with all kind of religious issues, and there is no ifs, ands, or buts. God does exist, that the Bible is true, and anybody that doesn't believe that, all they have to do is to look into the evidence, and they should be convinced. As far as the book is concerned, it's 801 pages, and they can get this book. They could order online or send their check into our ministry address, and you can order, like I said, right online through PayPal. We have a large, very, very large shopping cart where people could look over all the materials that we have.
I think everyone out there needs to do this. Time's running out. It's important, especially now. Again, we've been speaking to Brother Dan Corner, and his message is so important for all of us. Dan, I can't wait to have you on again so we can talk about some other issues.
Thanks, Stuart. I really appreciate your kindness and this opportunity to talk about the things of God.
My pleasure. God bless.
God bless you.